So Phoenix Wright has been confirmed to not be a character in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
How does this make you feel?
This makes me feel very not pleased.
Racism!
You know all the good things I said about Marvel vs. Capcom 3 this past year?
Yeah.
Take back, like, a tenth of them.
That's very emphatic. I admire your conviction.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 30th, 2010. Hi everybody, this is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Ajguy.
Hello, I'm turning my phone off now.
Yes, that would be preferable. Our good friend George Kikoris.
Woo!
And welcome to the show, Mitu Kandaker. Kandaker,
hello,
right?
Hello, yes, Mitu Kandaker.
Kandaker.
You did it. Well done. I can't believe it. You can't even get, like, Chris's name right.
That's very impressive. Yeah,
but I didn't say it with much conviction, though.
You just kind of, like, mumbled through it.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, yeah, that's about right, I guess. All right, good.
That's acceptable. It's fine.
It's fine. This is our second British guest, but only our first girl.
That's shameful.
I know.
I hope you guys.
Not that I don't know any girls or anything.
Particularly it's ones fine, that you are. Say, "Hey, come on our podcast," and they're like, "Yeah."
It's fine. We're rectifying the situation now.
That's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
The wrongs of the past have been righted at last.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, here's what's going on today's show. We got news. How's the news look, AJ? Fantastic.
Yeah.
After that, we're going to do the quiz. The Great American Ajguy Gaming Quiz. You'll never guess what this week's quiz is themed about.
Is Darkrai?
George was able to guess and never guess. That's pretty good. After that, we'll do the Let's Go Topical. I got five topics this time that we'll all go through and chime in on. Then we'll do our week in gaming and talk about the releases, and that'll be the show. Let's get cracking.
Okay. So Valve did a silly thing and accidentally banned 12,000 Modern Warfare 2 players due to some kind of glitch in the disk image of the game that made the anti-cheat stuff think they were cheating. To apologize, they gave everybody a free copy of Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh.
What if they have that already?
I would imagine it does that thing where then you can gift it to someone and they just say, we're really, really
that's
sorry.
That's a very nice thing to do. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done, Valve.
I don't think the bans lasted less than 24 hours, too, so.
You all keep drinking that Valve Kool-Aid.
Hey, it's delicious.
It is pretty good Kool-Aid. All right, what's next? What's next?
A victory for the little guys as the FCC has deemed iPhone jailbreaking to be perfectly legal.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yes, it's still within Apple's right to say we'll void your warranty, and they could frown upon it, but they can't take you to jail.
We frown upon it.
Shame, yes. Shame, shame.
Yes.
We wag our fingers at you from our ivory tower filled with black turtleneck.
No, didn't you see The Simpsons? It's underwater.
Oh, yes,
of course. Yeah. And designed by Jonathan Ive.
Yes. Wait, what? No, just keep going.
Okay. So, in a growing trend, EverQuest 2 has announced that it is going free to play.
Yeah,
and who's gonna play it now?
I don't know, but this is the most confusing free to play model I've ever seen.
Wait, I haven't really heard too much about this, but I'm excited because I love EverQuest.
Do you like EverQuest 1
actually,
or do you like EverQuest 2?
Okay, here's what it is. First of all, it's on separate servers, I think.
Right.
But what it is...
So you can't fraternize the paying customers.
Right, right. you're on your own little island. There are four tiers of service: bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. They all get you EverQuest 2, The Shadow Odyssey, which is the base game, 5 expansion packs, and 3 adventure packs. And yes, there are that many expansions. Now here's how it goes. Bronze is completely free. You're limited to 4 races, 8 classes, a level 80 cap out of 90... 2 character slots, and you can only get spell tiers up to adept and equipment grades up to legendary and fable are restricted. Okay, so that's like kind of the basics.
Yeah, that
you
sounds can... good to me. That's actually how the main game used to be when I actually used to play.
Right, so you're not missing too much.
Exactly.
all the missing races and classes and the level cap even are microtransactions. You could buy the additional ones if you want them as you want them. Then, if you pay a one-time $10 fee, you get upgraded to silver. This basically gets you another character slot, a higher spell tier. There's a whole bunch of other little things like shared bank slots, bag slots, the ability to create guilds, things like that.
Right.
Then, in the free to play, you can pay a $14.99 per month subscription fee.
What?
That gets you to gold.
Wait.
Is that just EverQuest 2 then?
No, that's the thing. It's not. Now, the client's still free. And you get access to all the classes, but not all the races. And you still are capped at level 80. Again, you can buy them as a microtransaction.
Wait, how does it not give you the full game at $15 a month?
Because you didn't pay for the upfront client.
Well, how much does that cost anymore?
Probably like $10.
They're just trying to confuse you into just paying the subscription.
That's probably what it is. They're just trying to bewilder you so you're like, fuck, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
I'll just buy the game.
You can avoid the confusion by becoming a platinum member, where you pay a once per year $200 subscription fee.
What?
Wow.
What? Wait.
Which is the equivalent of $10 a month, but all paid up front. Yeah. Now this gets you.
That's not $10 a month.
Does it not get you everything yet?
No.
It's like $18.
In addition, now apparently there is something called station cash in the game. I don't know what that is. You get 500 station cash per month. Free.
Oh, that's SOE's like specific, like their own weird little currency that they run across all their games.
That's where you can use it for like EverQuest and Star Wars Galaxies.
There you go. Let's see. You get the Sentinel's Fate expansion, which the other tiers do not get. I guess you still only get four of the races, and the other ones are still microtransactioned. But you do get all the classes. There's no level cap. You get 10 character slots and other things.
You and I want to go free to play Dark Age of Camelot.
Yeah.
That game is sweet. I'm pulling that one out of my hat.
Or, you know, you can just pay $14 a month to play EVE Online.
Or I could just keep playing World of Warcraft like I do.
Aw.
Yep.
I finally canceled my Star Trek Online subscription this month. I've been meaning to do that for like 3 months.
I like Star Trek Online, but
I do too. It's just, I don't know. They did announce season 2, like the new expansion. Their
cryptic expansions are always free, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, they're good for them.
You know, I started playing original EverQuest again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's that looking?
It was nothing like I remembered. I was very disillusioned.
I remember the first time I ever played the original EverQuest, and I had no idea what the hell was going on. Like, you think, like, some MMOs have bad interfaces?
Yeah, it was horrendous. Like,
well, there was, like, the interface, like, the UI took up, like, 75% of the screen.
I know,
right?
A little
bitty window that was the game world. And you knew where nothing was. You were, like, the elf home city, and it was, like, everything up in these trees. It tried to look like Lothlorien or something. You had, like you knew something was in this spot on the map, but you didn't know how high or low it was, and it was a mess.
Well, I think Mitu wanted to actually say something about this before you kept interrupting her.
I'm sorry.
No, yeah. No, it's fine. I have nothing.
Her voice is more pleasant than yours, AJ. I want to hear it from her.
I had nothing more to add. Just disappointment. just disappointment.
Just sigh for us, and that'll be good.
Huh?
Just sigh.
Just sigh. Okay, so I sigh disappointedly. Here we go.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay.
Now we got it. All right.
So, in a trend that I really can't stand, Nintendo has announced the date that they will announce the date and price of the 3DS. So, come September 29th, we'll know all.
Good.
Why they can't just tell us now.
Announcements of announcements. I'm just waiting for the day when they go, all right, next week, we're going to tell you when we're making the announcement. And then the snake will eat its tail. And then we will all be in hell.
Hey, you say what you want. I'm going to be tuning in whenever the hell you said that announcement's coming.
Oh, well, I mean, if it's for the 3DS, I will be as well. But I'm not going to be blind to the hilarity of it.
Remember when Microsoft had, like, that show, that special on MTV with Elijah Wood to unveil the Xbox 360?
Man, that was painful.
I remember.
Yeah,
I was like, here's Perfect Dark Zero in the first ever match of Perfect Dark Zero ever played. Oh, it was the first of, like, not. Of all 20 of them. that was mean. All right, next.
Here's a first-hand example of normal mapping's worst-case scenario. It's true.
Oh, God. All right, this isn't strictly video game related, but did you guys see the Thor trailer that leaked out of Comic-Con?
I did.
I did not.
Why are we talking about it, though?
Well, they also revealed the Thor video game trailer. That's my tenuous tie. I'm just really excited for the Thor movie, that's all.
Sure. Did you see the trailer then, AJ?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Thor's in it.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
Okay.
What's next?
It's very James Hetfield of you over there, AJ.
What's that?
That was very James Hetfield of you over there. Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. I try.
He doesn't even know what a James Hetfield is.
He's a guy.
From what? What is he in, AJ? I want to know.
I don't know. Give me a second.
Metallica, okay? He's in Metallica.
Come on. I can't be the only metalhead here.
I know, George. Of course, my
best... He's the guy who looks like the lion from Wizard of Oz.
What?
Yeah.
I hope Fixer's not listening to this, because he is going to fix you something awful.
No, here, I'll show you guys. It's
don't
great.
Show us, and don't show us a picture on our audio podcast. Keep going.
This
before I drive over to Pittsburgh and punch you in the face.
Okay.
You sent it!
The last thing I have... is if you listen to the intro of the show, you've heard one character who's missing from Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which is Phoenix Wright, who is confirmed to not be in the game. Why don't you talk about that real quick, Mike?
All right, well, let me get this up then, because...
I object!
Yeah, no, that was... Didn't see that one coming, George!
Nope!
I guess during, Comic-Con, they had, like, a sort of... Like Capcom Unity, which is like the community website for Capcom, sort of did this live stream, like Q&A thing with the game's like director or whatever, and like Seth Killian was there, and you know a lot of people were there, and he was answering questions about the game, and during so he confirmed that characters that will definitely not be in the game are Phoenix Wright, Emma, I think also from Phoenix Wright, I forget who Emma is, Daredevil. Gene from God Hand, Ghost Rider, and Punisher. But really, Phoenix Wright's the one I'm upset about.
Nobody from God Hand?
No God Hand.
And...
I mean, to be fair, though, they did put Amaterasu in there. And Beautiful Joe is pretty much confirmed. So, you know, you got some...
Wait, Beautiful Joe's in it?
Yeah, they haven't announced it yet, but there's silhouettes and, like, those background things. They're just
okay,
very...
Day one
they can't be anyone else.
I will buy anything that has Beautiful Joe in it.
Okay. Did you buy Tatsunoko versus Capcom? Is any in that?
He is?
Yeah, so
holy
I guess
shit,
I gotta go buy it
tomorrow.
Well, I do have a unconfirmed rumored list of the complete roster that apparently came from the same sources that got the Street Fighter 4 and Tatsunoko versus Capcom list.
There's
right.
No reason this list can be right, and I'll tell you why as soon as you go through it.
Okay.
Let me tell you what I think of each character, though.
Okay, here's the Marvel side. Spider-Man.
Yeah, you have to.
Hulk, we know.
Yeah.
Wolverine confirmed. Mr. Fantastic.
I don't know why you have Super Skrull and Mr. Fantastic. But Super Skrull's thing is that he has all the powers of the Fantastic Four, but whatever.
Captain America, we know. Iron Man. War Machine, probably.
See, War Machine is such an Iron... He's just an Iron Man clone.
I'm sure there's some War Machine players out there who are very upset with you right now.
No, he's just a...
Elektra.
Oh, God.
Your, like, favorite Marvel character.
Oh, God, Elektra.
Thor. X-23. What's X-23?
I have no idea. Okay, probably probably somehow related with Weapon X and whatever.
Okay. Magneto.
Magneto,
Doctor
you gotta
Doom,
do.
Doctor... Shuma Garath. Who's that?
Don't know.
Okay. Emma Frost, who's become strangely popular these days.
Emma Frost has a lot of cleavage, so...
Oh, that explains it. Okay.
There you go.
Deadpool, Super Skrull, Taskmaster.
Taskmaster, that's kind of funny.
Juggernaut, and She-Hulk.
She-Hulk, ugh. We don't need She-Hulk.
On the Capcom side, we have Ryu.
Yeah.
Mike Hagar from Final Fight.
That's kind of
awesome.
Sweet, yeah.
Frank West.
Ugh. What?
He was in Tatsunoko.
Yeah, I know. He's all ready to go.
Nathan Spencer.
Now, who's this again?
Isn't that the Bionic Commando?
Oh, okay. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. Dante. Chris Redfield. Morgan. Arthur.
Arthur's cool.
Yeah. Amaterasu. Albert Wesker.
Okay. two Resident Evil people, that's not necessary. Also, Wesker in Resident Evil 5 was lame as hell. I just want to put that out there.
Maybe it's RE4 Wesker.
He wasn't even in RE4. He was, like, in, like, the side mission things.
Okay.
Resident Evil 5 Wesker was, like, some Matrix Reloaded reject character.
Zero.
Yes. Okay.
Mega Man characters.
Beautiful Joe.
Okay.
Your favorite, Trish.
What? What? Okay, no Phoenix Wright characters, but two Devil May Cry characters? Fuck you. Go to hell. Go to jail.
Tron Bon.
Yes. Mega Man Legends. Yes. Oh my god. Mega Man Legends.
I don't know who this is. Hisian Ko?
Whatever.
Akuma and Felicia.
Who is missing?
Phoenix Wright?
No! Someone big is missing from the Capcom side.
Mega Man is not
in that list.
Yeah, but maybe Zero is kind of the Mega Man replacement.
So they're not going to put Mega Man in the game then? Is this what you're... Not. They're going to put Trotbot in Zero and but not Mega Man. How about... No, not gonna happen. That list isn't real. No way.
Okay. Well, that's my news.
Tron Bond's in the background of one levels already. No, that list is bad. False. It's done.
This is tangentially related. I only just now got the pun of the Capcom Unity.
I think you're saying it wrong. Thing.
Well, no, because they spell it Capcom Unity, and I always just read it that way, and I never quite got it. I never got the pun Capcom Unity.
You have to say it three times.
So now I feel like
how am I the only one that got this?
Because you're getting a PhD, you're smarter than
I never got that.
Yeah, that was completely over my head.
Maybe they shouldn't have that dasher and, like, put the community part in, like, italics right next to Capcom.
Yeah. It's that underscore that messes me up.
Oh, you know, when you look at the web address, it makes a little more sense, I guess.
Also, by the way, no, don't put Mega Man Legends Mega Man in there either, okay? Get Mega Man in the game. Not Mega Man X, not Mega Man Legends, not, you know, whatever the hell that thing is in Mega Man Battle Network. Mega Man.
I'm gonna say, give me Proto Man over Mega Man. I'm just saying that.
No, listen. Proto Man be sweet. Nothing over Mega Man. Why don't we just take Mario out of the next Smash Brothers game? You know, we got Luigi in there. He represents that series for them. No. Okay. I'm a little bit, just a little bit upset about that. Yeah. There will be blood Mega Man is just assumed. Okay, let's move on before I just...
Calm down.
I need more Coke. A cola, you know.
Alright. Quiz me, Mike. It'll make you feel better.
Oh, good. I hope you don't do well. Alright. Great American Ash Guy Gaming Quiz. We got 5 questions plus the bonus question. Our 2 guests are, of course, allowed to help you.
Yay.
You need 5 points to pass. You ready?
Yes.
StarCraft was released in what year?
1998.
Correct. When was the Nintendo 64 version released?
2000.
Look at this. Yeah. Someone's already there. All right, 3. Besides Brood War, how many other expansion packs were released for StarCraft?
The only thing I know is that the StarCraft 64 had the base game Brood War and a few exclusive missions.
Not counting that.
Oh. Then, guys, back me up on this. There weren't any more, right?
I don't remember any others.
I don't know.
Okay. 0?
2.
What?
What?
They had other people produce expansions for them before Brood War came out, and they are official. Now, question 4. Name one of these... authorized expansion.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
They got pretty generic names, to be fair.
I was going to say, like, I don't know, StarCraft the Terran Dominion?
StarCraft the Reckoning.
Nope. I'm looking for Insurrection or Retribution.
Oh, that's equally generic. I was about to say StarCraft Darkcraft.
To be fair, I don't think these were received very well.
Yeah.
Question 5. StarCraft Ghost was announced in what year?
Oh, God.
Ooh.
That had to be like...
2002.
2003?
2.
Hmm.
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 Maybe so it's this... neither of those.
Oh, God. I mean, it was supposed to be fairly late in the last generation. Yeah, let's go with 02.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. See, because this is where I usually think a year, and I'm a one-off, and so I just went with yours.
Bonus question. All versions of Lost Vikings 2, minus the Super Nintendo one, had a subtitle. What was that subtitle?
There was more than a Super Nintendo version?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there was a PC version and a Mega version.
Oh.
It's a pun, I'll give you that clue.
Yeah, and I remember it was a really terrible pun, too.
Yes. Are there any others?
Touché.
Alright, I'm...
I don't know.
Norse by Northwest.
Oh, yeah, I did know that.
It was.
Wow, that like immediately came back to mind as soon as you said it.
Isn't that funny? Man, remember that one guy on our iTunes review who told us to stop yelling?
Yeah.
He's not going to be very happy with me this week.
No.
Alright, so that's the quiz. Time to go topical.
Okay.
Alright.
We've got 5 topics for us. We are going to go through them. We'll start with AJ. Then we'll go down to George, then Mitu. Mitu, Mitu, whatever the hell your name is.
Yeah, whatever.
Jeez.
Honestly.
Well, I'm sure she'll be back on the show very soon.
I'm only kidding.
Right.
It is Mitu, though, right?
It's Mitu.
Yes, Mitu, yeah. You got it.
I got it. All right. AJ.
Yes.
Agree or disagree? Okay. The large amount of coverage that Kanan Lynch 2 receives in the gaming press is unwarranted given actual gamer interest in the title.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of there's not really much else coming out in August that's anywhere near coverage-worthy aside from Madden and, I guess, Metroid. And I mean, also, too, it has a really big marketing push, so I think it's just that's also kind of putting it out in front of everything right now. But yeah, honestly, this game, it's not going to do better than the first one did, and it'll probably end up doing worse.
You don't think there's anything nefarious behind all this coverage it seems to be getting?
No. It's just, this is what it is. It's right now in the summer, even though we have a decent amount of games coming out, there's not a lot of news happening right now. I mean, look at the show this week. But if a company sends a press release to Kotaku and Joystick and everyone, they're going to post it. And that's just kind of what's happening. They're just very smart about realizing there's not a lot going on. Let's dominate the coverage. Let's send stuff out, and they'll just put it up. Really, it's just kind of more of a criticism. It's not nefarious, but it is just kind of like these blog sites that aren't really journalism sites are just regurgitating PR shtick that's coming their way.
George?
I agree. I mean, like, you know, also for the same reason that AJ said, but also that I do have a sneaking suspicion that Gerstmann-gate has made like the sort of Kane and Lynch franchise very, very high profile among people who write about video games for a living. So it almost seems as though the people who write for the blogs and the sites are paying a little bit too much attention to the game because they have this, you know, they already have this association of, oh shit, this was a big deal for us like a couple of years ago, you know, what is the deal with this? And not that I suspect there's anything deliberate or nefarious at work, I just think that people who write about these things are paying much more attention to those games because they remember what happened.
Mitu, anything to add?
Not really. I mean, I'm actually happily oblivious to all of this because I don't have time these days. So, what are people talking about now? But no, I'm fine. I'm going to say, yes, the attention is warranted.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Oh.
All right. Next one. This one goes to George first. Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock will not be able to compete with Rock Band 3.
I don't think it will. I mean, Rock Band has already... the Rock Band franchise has actually managed to sort of topple the Guitar Hero franchise in terms of, like, sort of public awareness. I think more people are aware of the Rock Band brand than our Guitar Hero brand, which is a pretty impressive feat to pull off. And also, I mean, Warriors of Rock, I mean, I just quickly glanced at the track list, and of course I'm looking at this going, oh yes, I love all these songs, but I'm still not going to buy the game because I suck at Guitar Hero. I honestly don't think that there are enough people out there like who are as like obsessed with legit rock and roll that a game that specialized would be able to compete against something like Rock Band, which has a much broader sort of track list.
Wait, I haven't seen the track list for Warriors of Rock.
It's all like metal and, you know, like, I mean, legit rock and roll, like that. Pretty awesome.
Right.
Only to me.
The game well, for me, George.
Bit to it goes to you.
I just said all I know about the game, which is
it goes to Edge Guy.
Yeah, like I think if you objectively put the two next to each other, then there's no question Rock Band 3 blows Guitar Hero out of the water now at this point. You know, Guitar Hero still has that benefit of being Guitar Hero. Although the franchise has been finally showing signs of franchise fatigue.
I think they're showing that for a couple years now, at least.
Yeah. I always feel like there's this perception that Guitar Hero is a winner because it has, like, a new game coming out every 4 months, whereas Rock Band doesn't, and maybe that's part of it. But, I don't know. Yeah, I want to see Rock Band 3 succeed, you know, because I think it's doing far more interesting things. I don't think we need a single-player story campaign in Rock Band. Or Guitar Hero, rather. So, I'll say yes, it will, because I want it to.
Me too. Yeah. You still consider Rare to be a top-class developer.
Do I consider Rare? What are they doing these days?
Not
I think they're working on the Wii Sports clone for Kinect.
Oh. Well then, that says it all.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that once they lost Martin Hollis, everything kind of went down.
Yeah.
Did you guys see this thing where there was some Rare fan site that's been around forever, I guess. Wanted to like do this they wanted to do like this documentary about Rare, like about like their creation and all this stuff, mostly because they didn't really have much to talk about Rare anymore. So they wanted to make this, and then Rare shut them down. And then at that point, the website, like, shut down, and they said that they're done.
Yeah, shut down because the PR division said it wouldn't be on message.
Yeah.
But, you know, wow. They weren't looking to do anything negative. It was going to be a positive look at the company.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rare's pretty much bone.
Here's my thing with Rare, and I've been thinking about this actually lately, is... They're a company who did nothing to evolve themselves in the last 10 years. Like, their games are still rooted in the designs they came up with in the 90s that were good for the 90s. But, like, you know, you look at the new Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah, it had, like, the vehicle building thing, whatever. But it was still a run around a, like, big level and collect a bajillion different items. Like, their best game, I think, and I don't know why more people didn't catch on to it. Maybe it was because it was a launch game. But Cameo, I thought, was awesome. And, like, no one remembers Cameo. Except, like, they briefly showed it, that Kinect thing for Cirque du Soleil, and I thought it was going to be Cameo 2 for Kinect, which made me really excited, but that's not the case.
George.
But, yeah, I mean...
Oh, God, sorry.
I'm sorry. They're still valuable to Microsoft. I mean, they did do the avatars. You know, they are doing Kinect stuff. That will probably, you know, work well enough for them, but, yeah, they're not, like... They're definitely not what they used to be at all.
George?
I think Rare needs to quit with the theatrics and just become Microsoft's creative services department.
That's it.
Like, you know what? They should be left to you know, handle interface duties for the Xbox 360 and no more than that. Because now they're just like, you know, they're like, you know, Rare is like Mickey Rourke and the Wrestler right now. they're trying to stay relevant, and meanwhile, you can just hear them all going, Call of Duty 4? And yeah, they're boned. They need to stop.
All right, AJ.
Yes.
You care about the Zelda timeline. This is kind of inspired by a Bitmop.
I'm only just like disgustingly curious, since they said there is one, but it's a secret. I'm like, what the fuck? Just tell us. I mean, quite frankly, no, it doesn't really matter, except like in cases where you have like Wind Waker, which very directly referenced to the fact that it was like the post-apocalypse of Ocarina of Time, and now they're telling us this one's a prequel to Ocarina of Time. I won't know if it actually matters or not. I mean, the story in a Zelda game never is that important. Certainly not in some grandiose timeline. I just think it's frustrating that they're like, yeah, there is one, but you can't know about it. You're not worthy or whatever. There's only 3 people in the world who know about it. Okay, look, this isn't the Colonel's secret recipe. Like, it's the fucking timeline to your storied video game series. Like, I don't know, maybe people should know about that.
I like the analogy between the Zelda timeline and the Colonel's secret recipe.
Dude, they literally spend like $7 billion in security a year to keep that recipe a secret. No joke. It's like moved from location to location and everything. I think there's a great movie in the making there if someone tried to steal that recipe.
What's the story here? With Zelda, I mean, not with him.
Oh, they I was going to say, well, the Colonel. No. Last week, the Inamura, or whatever, I can't pronounce his name right, revealed that there is, in fact, a Zelda timeline.
Right,
it's a top secret document in Nintendo. Only he, Miyamoto, and the guy working on Skyward Sword are the only people to know it.
Right.
Okay. I think I have a pretty good grasp on this timeline if you want me to explain it to you.
Oh, why not?
Okay. So, you have Ocarina of Time, right? This is the first game right now. Now, there's 2 timelines that go off from Ocarina of Time. There's the timeline where, it's called the adult timeline, where Link goes back in time, and now there is no more Link anymore, because, you know, Link's gone. In this timeline, Ganondorf returns, and Link's not there, and so the whole world is flooded, and that's where you get Wind Waker from. And after Wind Waker is Phantom Hourglass, and then Spirit Tracks. The other timeline, Link is there, his line's continued, and that's where you have Twilight Princess. And then Twilight Princess begets all the other Zelda games, pretty much.
So it's a paradox.
Yeah, kind of. There's a really
Snake, what have
big,
you done?
You've created a paradox.
Lally lulay low.
By saying that there is a timeline, it just gets fans all crazy and like, oh my god, we've got to figure it out. And get people excited.
Well, people have been trying
like
to figure that out for years.
True. But, I mean, it's all exciting if they're like, yeah, there is a timeline.
Yeah. Maybe this is just brilliant PR on their part.
Yeah, it could be.
They probably just, like, scratch it all down on a cocktail napkin, like, last week. They're all having drinks.
I think it's just kind of interesting in the whole, like, bizarre way that it's like, look, there's all these different links, and, well, how are they connected? What is going on here exactly?
Well,
but, yeah, like, I don't really have faith that there's, like, a real... I don't have faith that this stuff ties into together all that well.
I mean, I don't fully understand why it's even important for there to be a timeline or a chronology of Zelda games, because I mean the way I've always seen them is that I just imagine each game to be a standalone reimagining of the same basic theme. Where yes, you know,
right,
we have the same characters, but we're just reimagining them in their own world as though this is the only story that exists, and each one is totally unrelated to the others. It's like the
kinda
fact
like
that
Final
every
Fantasy?
Final Fantasy game has to have a guy named Cid in it. It doesn't mean that all the Cids are related. It's just a recurring theme. And, you know, I just imagine all of the recurring elements of the Zelda games the same way. That it's just, okay, we have this kid with a green hat, and we have this princess, and they have some undefined relationship, and then there's an evil guy from the desert, and that's it. And then it's just, each game is just mixing up various permutations of those characters. And I think that's enough.
Fair enough. But you're wrong.
Aw.
Mitsu, it goes to you if you have anything else to say.
No, that's pretty much all I have to say. I think it could just be, PR. Brilliant PR.
Just getting us all going crazy and like, oh, we gotta play these games again now and figure it all out.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I know I'm gonna go back to Link's Awakening.
Well, that's Link's Awakening.
Link's Awakening's pretty rad.
Alright, last one. George, we'll start with you.
Alright.
Metroid Other M will probably be a good game.
I kind of disagree. Again, it has a lot to do with my personal taste. I actually spoke about this yesterday, I think. I am not a Metroid purist. I am not against the idea of adding cutscenes and dialogue to a Metroid game. It's just that if you're going to add cutscenes and dialogue to a series that typically doesn't have any, those cutscenes and dialogue should probably be good. except the ones in Other M are not good. Not even remotely, by any stretch of the imagination. The dialogue is so wooden, I could probably build a house out of it. I'm not saying this because I'm against change, and I would certainly, I have no objections to seeing the series grow or evolve. And honestly, I feel like if you took somebody like Amy Hennig or Mark Laidlaw and you kind of like set them loose on that script and maybe let them direct the voice actors, then the game could be fantastic. But as it stands right now, it is the same corny bullshit that Team Ninja has been foisting on people since the first Dead or Alive, and I don't see what reason there is to get excited about it. Like, I don't see how that could be a step forward for any game, much less Metroid. So, as much of a Metroid fanboy as I am, and as much as I would love to see that series kind of grow and turn into something more than it already is, I'm pretty sure Other M's gonna blow.
Me too.
See, once again, I've been living under a rock, so I don't know what Metroid Other M is about. So you guys can fill me in. That would be great. You guys are replacing my RSS feeds at the moment. Brilliant.
It's a combination third person action game with some first person elements. Metroid reimagining, done by Team Ninja, the guys who made, Dead or Alive and Ninja Gaiden.
See, that sounds good.
Yeah, when they announced it a year and a half ago at E3, it was extremely, extremely exciting.
That sounds less good.
Yeah. It already looks like, from what I've seen, and not a lot, I haven't seen a lot, but yeah, it looks to have a lot of the kind of Team Ninja bullshit that you would hope wouldn't be in there, but I was not surprised to see.
Yeah.
That sounds unfortunate.
Yeah.
Hey, Mitsu.
Hi, yeah.
Do they have KFC in England?
Yes, they do. They do. I'll tell you what they don't have. They don't have Denny's.
No, that's nothing.
I've never been to a Denny's.
I don't like Denny's.
You see,
you're not missing much.
Yeah, before this week, I'd only been to one kind of briefly once. So it was a huge novelty for me, and now I...
He's as sick of it as I am, and I've been living here for a year and a half.
I like the idea of Denny's being a novelty. It's the most unnovel thing I could possibly think
but
of.
But it's so American.
I guess so.
Like, this
the tremendous 12. Oh, wow. 12 things on one plate for $2.
Oh, America land. But yes, we have KFC. That's managed to infiltrate.
Oh, that's good. At least you got good. Chicken.
Yeah.
At least I got chicken.
At least I got chicken. Oh, I see what you did there.
Lol, lol, lol. Lol, 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 lol. All right. Okay. Time for Weekend Gaming.
No, I didn't get the answer.
I thought you'd sell your piece on this. Do you have something else you wanted to say about
it? No, I was explaining the game to her. I didn't really get
Then. Jeez, tell me why you think Metroid Other M will be bad.
I'm just worried about the controls, frankly.
That's true. You look at those gameplay videos, you can tell whoever's giving the demo is really struggling.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it seems like they're using the just Wiimote controls, like, to say, like, no, no, we have to do this, we can do this. Like, there is no reason I can find why I can't play this with a Wiimote nunchuck, have an analog stick to navigate their 3D environments, and just push a button to jump into first person rather than having to, like... I imagine if I play this game and stick with it, I'll get really good at doing some very fancy-looking flick to, like, throw the Wiimote in the air and catch it in my right hand so I could aim in first person and then flick it back. But, like, I don't want to play a 3D action platformer with a D-pad. Like, I haven't done that since, like, the Saturn. Why do I have to do it now?
I haven't done this since Bug.
And here's the other thing, too, that, like, I was reading, I think it was a guy in Kotaku wrote up a preview. And
that was Stephen Totillo. I love the title of the article. What if the next Metroid is a bad game? I see that. I'm just like, roll bait.
This is what kind of spurred this on.
But he had a good point, too. Like, he said he got used to it after half an hour. But I guess, like, when you jump to that first-person perspective, then Samus is looking at what she was looking at in third person. So, like, if she's facing towards the camera, but you think, like, you see something off in the background, you, like, instinctively go to aim the Wii Remote at it, but then you're when you get to first person, your back is to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I understand. Facing the direction her character was facing, not the direction the camera was pointing.
Right.
See, that's, like, a very simple usability thing that you could just, like, one guy to go, hey, this sucks. Let's use a different vector for the starting camera location. Done.
Or just have a toggle.
Basically, we've been hearing a lot of not-so-great previews about this game, and it's had me very, very worried.
Yeah.
It sounded like such a good idea at first.
Yeah, at the time, we were like, yes, oh my god. Well, it was announced after the Wii Vitality sensor.
You know what? It was announced at their, like, worst press conference ever.
Yes.
It was like, give us something.
Worst press conference ever.
Right. Like, why... okay. Power Week in Gaming. Tell me about StarCraft 2, AJ.
Oh my god, George, you're playing it, yes?
Yes, I am.
Matu, do you play StarCraft?
I haven't. I played the SP beta, but I haven't been playing.
Okay. Well, I think we talked about multiplayer when we did the beta.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, suffice to say, it's there.
It's there.
I played some Comp Stomp with two friends, and I didn't suck at it completely. I think I'm getting some chops in this game, which is exciting to me.
To be good at multiplayer in the game, you have to go online and learn certain build orders, and I don't know, whatever.
No, yeah, I know I don't have build orders, but at least, like...
I've gotten
efficient with the interface, which is usually the first big hurdle for me, so that's good.
But I imagine me and you are kind of like this. I don't know how many other people really like this, but I care much more about the solo campaign.
Yes, and the solo campaign in this game is fan-frickin-tastic. Like, I knew it'd be good, because, like, you know, Blizzard generally excels in this area, even though they haven't done it in a really long time. But damn, it's good. So, like, for those not in the know, like, the gameplay itself it's basically still plays just like StarCraft 1. You've got, like, new units and things like that going on. One thing they did that's really cool, though, is there are a number of single-player-only units that, if they were in multiplayer, would completely break the game. But, like, the single-player design philosophy was, yeah, you can be overpowered, just have fun. Like, you know, it's not going to be like a walk in the park or anything, but here's medics that heal all of your units. You know, the fire bats are in single player. They're not in multiplayer. And, you know, it's just cool in that sense.
Wait, the medics aren't in multiplayer?
No.
Oh, really?
Oh, do you have any idea how much they'd break the game?
I guess I'm just not thinking about it, because, like I said, that's kind of only where my interest lies right now.
Right. So the other great thing they do, and I knew this was coming, but I didn't know how awesome it would end up being, is they have these, like, Wing Commander-style... screens, like character interaction sequences between missions, where, like, you go to different parts of the Hyperion, which is your ship, and you see, like, all the characters, like, lounging about. You could click on them and talk to them, and you could, like, buy mercenaries and upgrade your individual units. You could do research using either Protoss or Zerg tech you find as bonus objectives in your missions. And for one, the graphics in these scenes are really good.
They are pretty good for not
they're
for
like
in-game
really
models.
Good.
In-game models that I'm assuming they had to make for nothing else but these sequences.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm talking like, you know, Mass Effect 2 quality, if not even better, because, like, you have to figure when these scenes are happening, there's no AI to render, there's not really a lot of sound going on, so it's just throwing everything at the graphics processing. So, you know, like, the storytelling in the game is phenomenal. Like, just the way everything moves and flows. And what I really like, and this is kind of from Dawn of War 2 did this as well, it's not a linear campaign. You have choices in which missions you want to tackle in which order, and they have different rewards as far as credits for your upgrades. Some missions have Protoss tech in them, some have Zerg tech, so which tech upgrades do you want? And, you know, some of them are like the Keystone story missions, and others are more just like kind of side missions and things like that. But where the game truly impresses me is just the variety of stuff they're able to get you to do using what is essentially the StarCraft 1 framework. Like, stuff I never thought possible. And it's not that they're complicated, they're just really clever. Like, there's one mission in the game that is basically a combination of 28 Days Later and I Am Legend.
I just did that one.
Yeah, and how awesome was it?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, go into super detail about it, because I don't think I should spoil it too much.
Needless to say, there was a night and a day mechanic to it, yes, which is kind of neat.
And then there's like a mission where you're robbing trains, and there's like escort missions that didn't suck, which is astounding.
If you're gonna do an escort mission and get away with it, RTS is probably one of the few that it'll work okay in.
Yeah, but yeah, like the escort mission was like you had to get these very particular sort of gas geysers, but the Protoss were trying to stop you. So you had to like escort SCVs to these points, and like, again, it's nothing groundbreaking in terms of the mechanic of it, but you just never done this before.
You know what games had escort missions I just couldn't stand the most?
WoW?
No. WoWs are fine, because people stop for you. It's those stupid, all like the Rogue Squadron games.
Yeah.
Those were the worst, because it was always like, you know, there'd be some TIE fighter you couldn't quite get. Like, you spent like a minute shooting him down, and as you did that, like 20 TIE bombers would come in and blow up your convoy. Back to you.
But yeah, I mean, that's the gist of the game, and I freaking love it. It's good.
I like that I get to play for free right now, because I'm using your guest pass. Yeah, which lets me play single player even, which I was kind of surprised
by. Yeah,
you get
14 days or 7 hours of gameplay, whatever comes first.
Yeah.
I should also mention, like, the whole Battle.net framework and the Real ID thing and the Facebook integration is all really cool. Like, it made it super easy to, like, populate my friends list and everything, so I like that. Because I got the collector's edition, my character portrait in the game is actually a Tauren in Space Marine armor, which made me kind of excited.
Oh, a Tauren.
Yes.
Of all the awesome Warcraft races, that'd be a Tauren.
You can have a Night Elf, or you can have Diablo.
Well, I want Diablo.
Well, you should get the collector's edition.
But how much was that?
It's like $100.
Oh, I don't have, I have $20.
Well, sucks for you.
It does.
So yeah, I don't know, what else do you guys think of it?
I like it. Do like it. I don't like RTSs, but I do like this. Mostly because the production values are just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. This is that Warcraft money finally.
Right, exactly.
New.
But I mean, you know, it's, like I said, RTS games, like, I'm not good at RTS games, but when you kind of manipulate it like they do in the single player game to kind of just do these things that aren't just, like, fight a computer player in an RTS battle, then I, you know, I have fun with it.
Right.
But if I'm playing against a human, I usually suck and I just get mad and stop playing.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. I mean, I, as far as the actual mechanic of the game, you know, I don't think, you know, past the single player campaign, I'm not sure if the actual gameplay of StarCraft 2 is going to be enough to play from Dawn of War 2. Just because, you know, I just like that game more. That there's a lower unit cap. Build up your units, things like that. I just dig that more. But the production value in StarCraft 2 is through the roof. You know, the writing is like, yeah, I'd say like a
it,
third
it has
of
its
the
moments and
it
has its not so great moments.
Hmm?
The writing has moments and has not so great moments.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. I would say about a third of it is genuinely good, and the other thirds sound like they were written by a 12-year-old boy.
Very cliche, kind of.
Yeah,
rough,
I mean, like especially
military
like
stuff.
If at any point when you're in one of those, you know, those little scenes, click on things to interact with them. If you click on Raynor, the things that he says to himself, pro- probably one out of every 10 of them is like, you know, kind of, it's either clever or it's like a neat little thing where it's like, man, like botched all the time. And it's a little bit of that kind of Max Payne fourth wall breakage. The rest of the time, it's just, it's bad. Time to kick this revolution into overdrive.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Dude, you've been on your revolution for like a really long time. You just wrote that line of dialogue to sound like a badass. That's not, no, that's totally incongruous. Stop it.
I also like the generic scientist girl with the glasses who's like kind of hot but kind of nerdy. I think she's in literally every sci-fi video game ever.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. With regards to the writing, is that not just because it's kind of akin to like whatever big Hollywood blockbuster type thing, you know? It's just kind of brainless and accessible. And...
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I was expecting much more from Blizzard's writing staff in terms of, like, the epic space story.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't turn me off completely. You know, it moves things along, and it's kind of interesting, but there's a lot of just generic angst and a lot of sort of, you know, generic military hoorah kind of thing.
It's funny also, you know, like, because the only RTS that I play with any regularity, Dawn of War 2, sort of contrast the two, and also because...
Yeah, Dawn of War.
Yeah, and like, the you know, the Warhammer 40K universe and the StarCraft universe are very, very similar, like, base level.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
You know, the funny thing is that, you know, Dawn of War 2, it's, you know, the writing isn't necessarily a lot better, but the characters in Dawn of War are... they're at least more articulate, and you know they're still like they're still space marines, but they're you know they're presented with a little bit more tact, and you know they're not quite the same sort of you know they're not Jim Rayner is what I'm saying. Basically,
it's kind of like people sometimes will try to argue that Uncharted 2 doesn't really have a good story, but the whole point is that it's written well and the characters deliver it well, so it doesn't really matter what the actual story is.
Yeah, it's not having a clever arc that matters. What matters is having characters that are likable. And, you know, I like Nathan Drake. I feel absolutely nothing for Jim Rayner. He's just a dude.
I kind of like Rayner.
You would like Rayner. Rayner.
Is that the android version of Jim Rayner? Hello, Rayner.
Although,
I like to say Rayner, like I'm... Jean-Claude Van Damme saying Reynard.
I will say though, huge props to the soundtrack. Sounds absolutely gorgeous. And of course,
yeah,
you know,
I listen
to
it as I clean my apartment.
Firefly are apt. You know, but I mean that's more because it shares a common influence. You know, it has that
It's got that whole space
sort of
cowboy kind of vibe to it.
And that you know that very heavily reverberated and phased guitar sound, which I adore. And it really is a beautiful sound.
I should also mention too that like I started off playing the game you know on my MacBook in OS 10 because it's exciting. It's a Mac game and I have a Mac, so I can do that. I was like running it at about like medium settings with a few things turned up here and there, and then I heard people saying that like it does in fact run better on Windows. So I went into boot camp on Win7, same machine, same hardware. And I'm now running the game at ultra with the same frame rate. And I was a little disgusted by that, but I was like, all right.
Law.
Guess I'm doing this now.
What you get?
I imagine that, I mean, the way Blizzard do it, and, you know, as I understand it, the way they do it with WoW, is they would write separate game engines. One using Direct3D on Windows, and the other using OpenGL on Mac. I think what they did with StarCraft 2 was that they really wanted, you know, they wanted to squeeze as much performance as they could out of their 3D engine. So they wrote it in Direct3D using whatever features they wanted, and then just, you know, used that cider layer from Transgaming to just have it convert everything to OpenGL on the fly, and that's just a crap ton of overhead.
Ah, okay. I mean, I knew it was a Direct3D versus OpenGL thing, but like I didn't notice it in things like World of Warcraft, so I didn't know.
Oh, God. What are you guys talking about? Ugh.
Sorry, OpenGL. Is this making your brain hurt?
Whatever, man.
Maybe it runs better under Glide.
Is that a joke? What are you laughing at? I don't know what that means. That must have been the nerdiest joke ever. Whatever that was.
It was up there.
Does it run on Glide? Shut up. Nerds! Get those nerds!
Oh, God. Speaking of nerds, Mike and I, and I'm very excited about this, we engaged in our first sit-down evening of Dungeons & Dragons.
I thought we agreed we weren't going to talk about this unless we needed to fill time.
The first ever Dungeons & Dragons game?
Yes, it's true.
We've dabbled here and there.
I think we tried to play that like version of it that came with the Diablo 2 Collector's Edition.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
Was that like a two-player version? That like a I don't want to say dumbed down, but I mean dumbed down.
No, it was like full-blown like D&D 3rd Edition, and you know, for like...
I don't even remember much about it.
Like, I don't know, how old was I at the time? Like 16.
We were trying to figure it out. We didn't know how to play it for one thing, though.
Yeah, we didn't know, you know, the first thing about a D20 or anything. I don't even think we had dice. We were like, wait, what's this D20?
Also, I was 12, so
yeah. But then, like, we went to a Barnes & Noble event when 4.0 came out, and like it was like a. Like, they had, like, some experienced DMs there to, like, teach everyone 4.0, and these guys didn't really know 4.0, mm-hmm. and they were like, yeah, we're not going to play 4.0.
I don't like 4.0.
I like 4.0 now.
Yeah.
Because that's the one I played.
So, I think I've mentioned this phenomenon on the podcast before, but so often in life, I will suggest a movie or a game or an activity to my brothers, and they will just immediately shut me down and say no.
But your ideas are usually dumb.
But then a period of time will go by, and a friend of theirs will make the exact same suggestion I did, and they'll listen to that person and then tell me how awesome my original idea was.
Well, when else did this ever happen?
Various movies and games. I don't know. I don't write down a list.
Yeah. Plus, you always love that argument. People are like, well, give me the other example. And you're like, well, I don't remember.
What I love is your reason for not playing D&D sooner was we didn't have enough people. And I suggested our friend PJ to play. And you're like, no, he'd never want to play. And it turns out PJ's been wanting to play Dungeons & Dragons for the better part of 5 years.
It all worked out now, didn't it?
He's actually a really good DM.
He is a very good DM. We have a lot of fun.
Yes.
I'm worried that Chris didn't have a whole lot of fun, though.
What did you guys play?
It was 4th edition. He's made his own campaign.
I'm a human mage named Bartholomew Shamwow.
Oh, awesome.
I call him Bart.
Like the product I've seen on TV.
And then I've got my half elf cleric Cielan, and then Chris is a dwarf paladin named Balthazar Notorio.
Oh, nice. Yeah, in my last D&D game, I played a gnoll barbarian.
I didn't know you could play as gnolls. So that must be on the second player's handbook.
An exception was made.
I think Chris, our brother, he liked the combat elements of the game.
Right.
I don't think he was quite as into like the role playing and the talking to people.
That's the best bit, you see. I know, that's
what I like.
He had little moments where he seemed to be enjoying it, but I think for now he almost saw it as just in the way of more combat.
And for now he just kind of looked at me like I was being totally dumb whenever I was getting into that part of it.
But every so often he would too. I mean, my favorite part of the whole evening was like you went to go open a door and he had you roll a strength check and you rolled like a 2.
Yeah.
And he's like, you push and push against the door and your feet are just like going against the ground. So Chris is like, all right, I'll kick this door open. So he rolls a strength check and he rolled like a 4. And our DM's like, yeah, you kick the door and like stub your toe and are now hopping around. So I was like, can I go pull the door? And he's like, the door opens easily.
See, that's what I love about pen and paper role playing games. Like the potential for hilarity and things going wrong. Those are the best bits, kind of, if you remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, those are the moments when my friends and I have the most fun playing Delta Green, because like the way things work in Delta Green is it's all based on percentages. And, you know, you have to roll 2d10 to get, you know, a number out of 100 based on a particular skill. And if you roll all zeros, that's called a fumble. And what happens is when you fumble something, not only do you fail at whatever it is that you are trying to do, but you in fact end up doing completely the opposite.
Right.
And then everybody has to go on that from then on.
So, you know, like, a friend of mine would be, he would be, you know, trying to perform some kind of chemical analysis on some unknown substance, and he'll fumble it, and then the result, you know, like, the DM will go, okay, you perform a chemical analysis, you are pretty sure it's peanut butter. And then we have to go through, like, as far as we can, just assuming that the shit is peanut butter.
I mean, that's what I love about the D10 storyteller system. And this might be, this may just be house rule of the DM with whom I play, but the more skill points your character has, the more dice you get, which means obviously you've got more chance of success, but also equally you have more chance of falling pot as well. So it's basically, it just leads to all kinds of hilarious things happening, and that's the best thing about role-playing.
Yeah, there's just a lot more, just seems like, you know, certain things could happen that could never have been in the most sophisticated of role-playing video games.
Right. And then, but the fun of it is you're kind of, there's just a whole bunch of people sitting in the same place, and, I mean, if you're just kind of
pizza
there just for the sake of rolling dice, it's not that fun. But, I mean, if you're kind of there having a laugh and this thing's going wrong, then that's kind of, it's just this, like, awesome social experience.
Or you could be like us, you're just easily amused whenever someone casts Magic Missile. Because it's just inherently funny to you
magic
for some reason.
Missile.
I cast Magic Missile.
I'm attacking
what,
the darkness.
At what point AJ jumped onto a table and like he had to do like an agility check or whatever to make sure he'd do
it. Athletics to get on the table.
It's like my character's thing is that he thinks he's the leader of our group. Like, he's self-appointed, and he doesn't want to be shown up by AJ's character. So after he did that, we're fighting people. I'm like, not to be outdone by AJ, I also jump up to the table. And I rolled a 20, natural 20. So our dungeon master's like, you jump up into the air, grab the chandelier, and swing onto the table and strike a mighty pose. Then right after that, I'm like, I cast Magic Missile.
Oh dear.
That was the battle where I was able to utilize the fact that my character speaks goblin to trick goblins into coming out of the kitchen into the dining room to see something that was, quote, really, really awesome. As Chris waited by the door, and as the first goblin came out, he just cracked this thing on the head and instantly killed it. And the other goblins explained in goblin, I thought there was supposed to be something awesome out here.
Oh god, this is getting so nerdy right now.
Oh god, what nerds! We're such nerds.
Nerds! Get those nerds!
Wait, we need to say something cool, incredible.
I play Dragon Quest IX!
Yeah, well, I play football.
But I did, you want to hear about it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Dragon Quest IX is an RPG. And there are, you battle monsters in them, and sometimes you attack them with a sword or you cast magic on them. There are towns where you can go to weapon shops and armor shops and buy things, or stay at an inn to recover your HP and MP. Am I kind of getting my point across?
It's generic.
Well, it's generic, but lovingly so, I guess. It's generic, but doesn't, like, it's generic, but doesn't necessarily feel like an old game. Like, it still has, like, I don't know, enough pizzazz.
It's generic with a wink and a nod.
But, kind of. But it, I guess I can't even come up with a good defense, except to say I'm enjoying it still. Like, it doesn't bother me that my main character is kind of, he doesn't speak. You get to make him, you get to name him, and you do some slight modifications, like hairstyles and stuff. And I didn't mind that he doesn't speak. I was kind of annoyed, though, when, like, I kept thinking, like, I wonder when I'm going to get some party members. So that, you know, that'll be fun. And it turns out party members, like, you just go to an inn, and you just make characters that accompany you. Like, you make more characters, and they're just not even acknowledged by the story at all at any point.
Really?
They literally just kind of follow your character around. They're, you know, they're there. And they're in the battles and whatnot. But, yeah, they have nothing
to
do with
it. So you're telling me that it's an RPG, a JRPG, with It has a story, but there's no character development at all.
Yes.
As far as the story goes. Not even the main character.
I mean, yes, that would be fair. I guess that's kind of my one problem.
So,
because that's kind of a big deal with JRPGs.
Does it at least kind of pull it off in like a Diablo fashion?
Yeah.
I mean, Diablo doesn't have character development, but at least had a good story and was enjoyable.
There's been some, like, the premise is kind of interesting. Like, you're basically a guardian angel, and you have one town that you kind of guard, or, you know, you look after, and you kind of, basically, you fall from heaven, and you land down there, and you lose your wings, kind of. And that's something that I, to my knowledge, had not been done in an RPG before.
Oh, yeah, that's better than the young boy from the town with a destiny.
Right, exactly. So it doesn't have that, so it's slightly interesting there. And there's things going on, and, you know, the combat is fun enough. I will say this, though. And here's one of my things why I defend Final Fantasy XIII. Very few RPGs, anybody will ever say that their favorite thing about them was the battle system. Everybody who loved Final Fantasy VII, how many people would say, well, I love Final Fantasy VII because I really liked fighting those monsters in the field, or whatever. Typically, they like Final Fantasy VII because, well, the soundtrack was awesome, and the game looked so good, or, you know, I loved racing chocobos, or whatever. At least with Final Fantasy XIII, the coolest thing about the game was the battle system.
Yeah.
So,
I'll give you that.
I wanted to get that across. But, like I said, it's enjoyable. You would not like this one, AJ. Don't buy this one, please.
Okay.
You will not like it at all.
Okay. Fair enough.
I just know right now you would have no interest in this title or anything it offers.
Does it have multiple save slots? Can I at least try yours?
I don't think so, no.
Jeez, I hate that.
Yeah, that was kind of the annoying trend Pokemon started.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for that, Pokemon. But I gotta get further into it still, kind of see what's going on. But, and, you know, it's very grindy. But I think I like grinding. I think that's kind of my dark confession. I like to grind. Like, I like playing World of Warcraft. I like beating up monsters and, you know, getting XP and whatever. I'm a grinder. Shame on me.
Hmm.
Has anyone else played it at all?
Nope.
Has anybody seen the movie Tron?
Yeah.
No. Oh. Yes. I mean, no.
Yes. I mean, no.
Okay. That's pretty much all I played. George, anything? Sorry, AJ. Apparently you played something else.
I did. You cut me off.
Is it an iPhone game?
No, it's not. It's a real game.
So you admit iPhone games aren't real games.
No.
Okay,
continue.
Anyway, I got Deathspank.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, has anyone else played this?
I haven't yet. I have it installed, but I haven't touched it.
Yeah, you would like this, I think, George. Basically, the gist of the game, it's a hack and slash action RPG designed by Ron Gilbert, and it's awesome.
How awesome is it?
So awesome. Like, what's really cool about it is the way the fighting mechanic in the game works is just you have all your items in your inventory, all your weapons, everything. You just map them to the four face buttons, and, like, that's the controls. So, like, it's not like A is attack and B is range or anything. It's just wherever you put your crossbow, your sword, and whatever else. Then it has this justice meter mechanic, where as you're attacking, you're filling up this justice meter, and then some of your items will have a justice attack that when that meter's full, it'll do like an area of effect attack, or it'll stun a guy or something like that. And then you could also map stuff to the D-pad, so like you could put weapons on the D-pad, but that's where you put like your potions and your food and things like that.
Is it funny?
It's hilarious. The writing is awesome. And some people, I've heard some people complain it gets old, but it hasn't to me yet. Deathspank's character is very much of that almost like golden age comic book character thing where he's like, "Hello, working hard citizen. I am the hero, Deathspank. Do you have any heroing that needs done by a hero such as I?"
Right.
Oh, and so he's got the sort of Captain Quark thing going on.
Little bit, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty apt. In fact, now that I think about it, he does sound a lot like Captain Quark. I wonder if it's the same guy. But, like, you know, the first mission of the game is the demon witch who you need to break her seal to get to the mystical artifact known as the Artifact. wants you to attack the vicious chickens that are attacking her dragon hatchlings.
The vicious chickens, are they from the Crypt of the Unknown Fowl?
No, sadly. Anyway, okay. To prove that you have slain these chickens, you have to bring back their lips.
But they don't have lips.
Of course they do. How else would they whistle? Says the demon witch when you say, do chickens have lips?
But wait, do they whistle?
Look, they had lips when I killed them, okay?
What do they look like?
Lips?
They, like people
things
lips?
As you guys yes. said. Look, they had lips when I killed them.
The game also, like, the art style, it's kind of like, it looks like a pop-up book. It's really unique. It does kind of like that thing where it looks like the world is drawn on a cylinder, so as you move towards, like, the background, everything kind of rotates up into place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so it does that. I mean, it's just, it's really good. Like, you know, it's got all the loot whoring you could ever want. You know, you get the cleaver of cleaving and, you know, great items like that. I got a chicken cannon at one point. And it's just, it's, oh, here, this is good too. There was a mission where I had to take, I forget the name of the item. It was something funny. It was a pun. I had to basically beat the shit out of demons. I mean, literally, hit them with this thing until their poop came out and collect the poop for a quest.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It was awesome.
You know, to follow that up, I played Limbo.
How's that? I didn't get
Limbo's a lot of Limbo's really cool. It's very much in that sort of another world kind of vibe where it's like, you know, find out what kills you and then go do it again so it doesn't kill you next time. But the restart, like the checkpoints are very generous, so it's not like a hassle. And it looks really good and it's very moody. No, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to have a lot of nice things to say about it. I haven't played
mm-hmm.
it yet.
I'm stuck at one part, but, you know, that's what happens with these games. You know, what else is coming out for Summer Arcade? Next is Hydro Thunder came out, right?
Yeah yesterday. And then...
My roommate was playing Hydro Thunder Hurricane earlier today. That game is so bombastic.
I know, I played it at PAX, I loved
like,
it.
Like, the main menu comes up, and all you hear is a dude yelling at the top of his lungs, Hydro Thunder Hurricane! And you're like,
oh my god,
whoa,
that right there makes me want the game
there.
So bad. I love games where disembodied voices are just yelling at me. Just screaming at me to do things. Press start!
Like, oh god, oh god.
Select a character before I kill you!
Anyway, to answer your question, next week is Castlevania Harmony of Despair, then Monday Night Combat, and then Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light.
Woohoo. Alright. Yes. Hey, George, what else you play?
I played StarCraft II. Not really that much other than that, except for the fact that, you know, it's that time of year again, and I'm playing Chrono Trigger again. But what can I possibly say about Chrono Trigger that hasn't already been said?
It's an annual cycle for you.
How long does it take you to beat Chrono Trigger? I'm curious.
Yeah, like, I mean, okay, with my schedule, playing intermittently, like a month.
I mean, like, what's your, like, like total game time, though?
Oh, I've never looked.
Because when I finally did play through it,
you
get the best
hours.
Ending. It took me like 12 hours. I think Chrono Trigger is a short game.
It is pretty short.
For JRPG, anyway.
Yeah.
Here's a random thought that popped into my head that is totally unrelated to Chrono Trigger. Is, you know how people always get on, you know, developers' cases when they release a trailer that's something but cutscenes? Or a commercial?
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone seen the StarCraft II commercial?
Yeah, it's all cutscenes.
Is it kind of unfair that we don't sort of lay into Blizzard for that?
Nah.
I don't really understand why people lay into developers for not having gameplay footage in their trailer. Usually gameplay footage looks really stupid when you show it in a commercial. It does. I mean, like, okay, let's be completely honest. Most video games look really stupid if you're not actually playing. Because it's just camera jerking around, shit blows up. You're like, I can't relate to this at all because I'm not holding a controller. Is that just me?
It is kind of hard to sell a video game in a commercial without like just trying to sell the premise and not the actual game.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the most my what I think was the most successful advertising campaign for game recent history was the one for the original Assassin's Creed, which just kind of set up the whole kind of assassin thing going on.
Yeah, I like that.
And I just give that game a lot of credit because Assassin's Creed, I think, I think it still was the best-selling new game franchise of this generation. So, and that's a hard thing to do, to sell people on a new franchise the way that those commercials did for Assassin's Creed. Hmm. Anywho, Mitsu, did you play anything?
No. Oh, wait. Did we admit that we started playing Gears of War, George?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, you know my feelings on Gears of War. Well, I recanted.
Yeah. We started playing through it again in co-op mode.
The original? Or
the original.
Sequel?
The original. Wow. With the intention
in co-op.
Of then going on to 2.
But of course, you know, you have to understand that the entire time we were playing, I couldn't resist the urge to make gay sex jokes the entire time.
Well, this is the thing. I have this, I really both love and loathe Gears of War. Like, I mean, the thing I love about it is the blatant homoerotic relationship with John Marston, of course. But yes, we made that very apparent. That was
yes, it's true. There was no equivocating there.
Speaking of
where's the resonator? It's in my ass. It's vibrating right now. You know, I mean, just kind of going with that wild chain song aliens in half.
But their love is delicate, George.
Oh,
you can't be that.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
But George,
their
love is delicate.
Delicate man on man relationship.
Oh dear. Speaking of Gears of War, though, what's that whole Save Carmine thing going on right now, right? With the
it's you can buy a shirt for your avatar for a dollar.
Yeah,
all
and
the proceeds
like, save
are
Carmine,
going to Child's
save Carmine, and like the results dictate what happens to him.
What happens
three.
To Carmine in Gears of War 3?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What do you guys think about
can
that?
We,
okay,
I'm
going to
save him.
What's going to happen if?
Well, then go pony up a buck.
Well, if not enough people get the Save Carmine shirt, then they're going to kill him off. If enough people get the Save Carmine shirt, they're going to kill him off after the credits.
You see, I mean, the money goes to the Child's Play, right? So, I mean, that's good. It's for charity.
Yeah.
Oh, so that'll be really interesting, because then I wonder if, they'll be killing off Carmine and make you feel guilty for not donating the Child's Play. That's sneaky.
Well, no, isn't it, I guess people have to actively buy the Don't Save Carmine shirts, right? So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just...
I think it's just a matter of if there's more kill Carmine or more don't kill Carmine.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know
okay. I thought it was like a certain number of people had to get the Save Carmine shirt.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. So you're either Team Carmine or Team Not Carmine. See, that would be better shirts.
It's like Twilight.
Huh?
Like Team Edward and Team Jacob.
Right. Let's not talk about that.
Anyways,
yeah.
You know my favorite person to bring, Gears of War up to is Dan Chu, it's because he's constantly like haunted by that 10 he gave the first Gears of War, because people still like. But you said in your review that the game's not perfect, but you gave it a perfect score. He's like, but no, the score doesn't mean it's perfect. He still says he's haunted by that. He says he still goes to NeoGAF and sees people, like, post a review with, like, sections highlighted and, like, the 10 circled.
God, who has that much time?
Gaffers.
If I
dude,
have
the gaffers.
Any time, I'm going to
have you been on NeoGAF?
Video game.
I'd like... That would be nice.
You can have some of mine.
I need either clones or free time. That would be nice.
Or both.
Or both, yeah.
Take
yeah.
your clones
I'd
to
like,
the beach!
Clearly I need to spend more time being able to actually play video games rather than just search. Anyway.
Well, we normally talk about the... I'm sorry.
Sorry. I was just
saying?
Wondering out loud, what would a Twilight video game look like? I know I said let's not talk about Twilight.
But,
oh God.
But
you ever play a Japanese sort of visual novel? Imagine it'd be kind of like that.
No, it would use Twitter and Facebook, and...
it would use Twitter.
Okay,
here's the Twilight game. Spam Team Edward or Team Jacob and try to get into trending topics. There's your game.
Oh God.
Okay, here's your answer right here.
Go
it
on.
Would suck.
Yeah.
What?
That's what it would look like. It would look like suck. Like, if you could take the very concept of sucking and conjure it, give it physical form, bring it forth from the void, from the ether, just call it forth from a smoking orb of nothing, it would be a video game based on Twilight.
So you wouldn't like it then?
No.
Now, alright, are you all quite done with Twilight?
Yeah.
This is normally the part of the show where I would talk about the new releases, but, well, we kind of covered the past week's releases last week when we did the show real late, so I don't really have any releases to talk about.
Oh, that's right, we did do that already, huh?
Yeah, so the show's done!
Whoa!
Check that out.
Surprise! So,
a wild
George, Mitsu, I want to thank you very much. I want to thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah. Hey, Mitsu, you got, like, you want to plug your whole Mount Kilimanjaro climb?
Oh, God, yeah, that's very kind of you. Yes, I am climbing Mount Kilimanjaro together with my younger sister in, like, a month and a half, which is very scary. I've never climbed a mountain before, and it's actually an insane idea. But the reason I'm doing it is to raise money for a women's education center which we're building in rural Bangladesh. So please donate money at itsclimb.co.uk. And right now, any donation you make will be matched by the generous folks at Red. So, that.
Cool.
You should. If you don't, I'll personally make you feel guilty. I will browbeat you Twitter, I promise.
He's not joking.
I'm not.
Yeah, wait, what mountain did you climb, Mike?
I lied. I never climbed a mountain.
Aha.
Me too. I hope it didn't scare you throughout the show. I hope you'll come back someday.
Well, I mean, you were like, Me Too or Mitu or whatever your name is.
I tried to apologize
I'm
for him.
The first and only girl you've had on here, that's probably not the best way to
treat
me. Whatever!
The next time Mike's at E3 or gallivanting around, then Mitu, I'll have you back on the show with that jerk gone, and it'll all be fine.
It's been a pleasure, guys.
Alright. Alright, and George, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
thanks
yeah.
again for coming on.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
I hate you. I hate you, George.
Aw.
I want George to be on with the Fixer again. That was one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, yeah. God.
This one was, too. This was another great episode.
Indeed.
Woo. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel podcast. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or follow us on twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can also find us on the iTunes Music Store or on the Zune Marketplace, if any of you have Zune. Thanks, Liz. Damn it. All right.
Everybody who listens to you on Zune Marketplace, just stop.
Just unsubscribe. You're just pissing everybody off.
At the beginning of the show, I clearly stated that I was in a bad mood because of Phoenix Wright not being in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Uh-huh. You hear that, Capcom? It's all your fault. You punny bastards.
And you and your Capcom unity.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.